Now, the title of the sermon is talking about do not provoke anger. What is anger and what provoke anger? Well, one time a little girl called his father, come to the house, said, "Father, what's the difference between anger and provoke anger?" And so the father said, "I don't know how to explain that, but you know, maybe I can demonstrate." And so the father picked up the phone and randomly dialed a number and called someone, okay? And a young man on the other line of the phone say, "Hi, can I help you?" Say, "Well, is Malvin there?" And the young man said, "No, there's no Malvin here. And so the dad hang up the phone. And so he picked up the phone again and redialed the same number and pick up the phone. "I want to talk with Malvin. Could you get him, please?" And the young man on the line say, "There's no Malvin here. You called wrong number." And the guy hang up. And dad turned to the little girl and said, "That is anger." Well, dad picked up a phone again and redialed the number and called this. And the young man on the line say, "I'm Malvin. Can you get him for me? I'm Malvin. I'm Malvin. What the message that someone just called me?" And the guy say, "What?" And so the guy hang up. And dad turned to the girl and say, "That is provoking anger." Do you know what provoking anger? You mix people upset with you. It's something that you want to get other people anger. That's what provoking anger. Now the series I want to share with you is talking about building up the family of God. And this text, very important indicator about it. Turn with me in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 say, "And you, fathers..." Okay, are you turned there to the page yet? Okay, please turn. Maybe I should give you some time. Okay, turn to the page. When you have the Bible, bring your Bible, please. Every time you go to church, and we really learn a lot from the Word of God when you get a chance to read it. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, "And you, Father, do not provoke your children to wrath." Now, you can, if you are a woman or mother, you can put a mother in there as well. Okay? This is what Paul teaching to the church. If you, a father or mother, do not provoke your children to wrath. This doesn't mean provoke them to be angry, upset, do something terrible. "But bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." That's mean raise them up. Teach them. Help them grow into Christ-like character. Do not make them angry. Now, most of the people here, we probably have parents, and do you sometimes feel like your parents provoke anger? Now, some of you probably trying to understand, what does that mean? Well, I have 8 suggestions what is provoked anger is all about. And maybe you're going to measure that. Are you doing one of these 8 or more? As a parent, as a brother or sister, do you provoke anger to your sibling, to your brother, to your cousin, to your friend, to your church member? And this is what it's all about. All right? Okay, number one, if you can have a pencil and paper, take note, please. When I go to church, I try to take note and try to learn what we can. And we can apply, we'd apply in our life. Number one, say, do not be angry. Because when you anger, you make other people angry, right? You know, when I go into when I go to work, right? And I was woke up on the wrong side of the bed. You know what I'm talking about? You get angry, you go to work, and you start, people say, "Hello, how are you doing, sir?" You guys say, no, nothing. That's not good morning. See, you start to be angry. That means you provoke other people angry. And what other people will say? Forget about that guy. I'm not going to say good morning ever to him again. Right? That's provoking angry. So when you anger, that's you provoking that kind of thought. Turn with me to the book of James, chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. James, the book of James, chapter 1, verse 19. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, and slow to speak, and slow to wrath." That means slow to get angry. That means Paul tries to say, you have to quick to hear. You got to listen. Sometimes you're angry on something that not worth to be angry, right? You quickly need to hear what's going on, and understand the situation, analyze what happened. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteous of God. Sometimes people say, if I'm angry, I straight someone else out, that means I do God favor. Sometimes parents feel like that. You know what? I discipline my kid, I'm helping God here. That's what Paul's trying to say. We have to listen. Don't be angry when you discipline your children. Don't be angry when you have a conversation with your friend. Okay, very important. Especially when parent, before you discipline your child, you must first control yourself. For young people, before you want to correct someone, you need to control yourself. In other words, you're not in control, and you want to control someone, that means you're going to give a wrong word out, right? You're upset, you have a bad tone, you start to make people upset. In control yourself, take it easy. If I've come home from work, so much angry at work, upset with the customers, stressed with life, upset with traffic, and you come home, if anyone will try to say, hi, how you doing? Welcome home, Dad. You start to have a bad tone. Better go outside and just let it out. You can yell out from the bottom of your heart, ah, then come back to hell. And then you couldn't yell anymore. Okay? And so, make sure you control. Control anger is prerequisites of control others. If you control your anger, it's required before you can control someone else. Right? And so Paul tries to say, we need to control ourselves. Jesus disciplined his disciples very well with love and kind and care, but he's stern. Right? The woman caught in adultery, say, come, and he say, your sin forgiven, go and sin no more. Jesus said, why do you do that? Don't you know the law of Moses said that? Why do you do all that? Stone her to death. No. And say, you know what? I forgive you. Go and sin no more. Maybe that's how parent we should do. You know, I know you did all this, but I forgive you. And do not do that again. Do you like to hear that from parents? Then parents say, I told you 100 times. How can you keep doing it? You see, that hurt them. And so that's why we need to learn that do not be angry. Number two, do not criticize. Criticize. Book of Job chapter 32. This is a good story here. Job 32 verse 3. Turn book of Job. That's just before the book of Psalm. Job 32 verse 3. And here's the story of Job. Okay? Something happened to his family. He lost his children. His wife abandoned him. And he got sickness like cancer. And he couldn't get rid of it. And his friend come and say, you know what, Job? You must do something wrong. That's why you got cursed. Come on now, tell me, what do you do? And they couldn't find anything what he did wrong. Look at verse 3 from chapter 32, book of Job here. And again, his three friends, and his wrath was aroused. That means they upset with Job because they had found no answer. That means he couldn't find any problem in him. And guess what? And yet had condemned Job. Do ever anyone condemn you and they don't know what happened? I mean, you run into school and you get late, and the teacher start to maybe say something. Or you come home and your parent condemn you because why you come home late again? But never listen. Hey, what happened? Did you just get an accident? Did something happen to your friend? Is the car broken down? You see, a lot of times we criticize before we understand the situation. That means when we criticize, we provoke what? Anger. Provoke anger. And sometimes, a lot of time, I go places. Sometimes I come home, people don't know I have to go through. Just like last night, I said, you know, I come home in time to practice praise song, and I couldn't do that. And I was planning everything. And suddenly, I have emergency. And I have to, by him, go to the emergency room in Pomona. she fell off and hurt her so that she couldn't move. And I'm afraid her shoulder was either loose or a broken bone or fracture. I don't know. I texted her to the emergency room. You know, when you go to the emergency room, you can stay there for hours and hours. I didn't get out until midnight. And sometimes people don't understand. And so that's why people need to understand, ask them questions. Why you come home late? Your parents say, why you come home late, son? I told you, you need to be home by 10 and you come home by midnight. You see, we need to stop and start to criticize before we understand. That's what Job's friend, they couldn't find any problem, but they still criticize him, still condemn him. So that's point number two. Hopefully we'll learn from that. You know, Winston Churchill, his father, Randall Churchill, and he's the prime minister in England in the 20th century, is a powerful man. He's not that tall, but he was criticized by his parents, especially his dad. He's so short, he's not athletic, his voice just like a woman. I mean, his dad couldn't stand him. Always yelled at him, upset him, and spank him. But you know what? That's what how he born. And parents don't understand. And sometimes we push our children like that, and we don't understand that. And so I'm glad that Winston Churchill would neglect all those negative criticism, and he continued to build up his character to be a great man in the 20th century. My friend, we hear many criticism. Sometimes we say, you know, you're too young to preach. Oh, well, you cannot do this. You're so weak. You know, you're so thin, you're so fat, you all that. And sometimes we take all that in and we live what people criticize us. Right? Sometimes you hear so much, that's called like negative programming, you know. Don't hear all that. A lot of times it's good to ignore and walk out. The more you listen, the more you live up to it. Okay? When people say, oh, you're always late, guess what? You become always late. Matter of fact, don't criticize people that you're always late. That means you add a negative strand in that person's brain. Say, you need to understand you're always late. So you be always late. That's what's doing. You need to change all that. You say, you know what? I'm so happy that you're earlier than yesterday. I'm so happy you get better. You know, wouldn't that make people feel better? Yes. So that's what, when parents teach your children, we need to change that method to help them, to help them. Now, don't point finger now. And so that's what the second thing, do not provoke anger. Number three, do not be inconsistent. I think I shared the idea of that last week. Do not be inconsistent. We can go to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. In verse 9 and 10, for you, remember, brethren, our labor and toil, that means his hard work, for labor day and night, that we might not be burdened to any of you. Okay? We preach to you the gospel of God. You are witness. That means you see. I'm preaching. You see me? And God also see me, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly that we behave ourselves among you who believe. This means what I preach, I walk. You know? That means what you say, you will follow. As parents, you know, if we say one thing and we do another thing, how can children will follow? How can a dad sit on a couch watching TV and smoke and say, son, you should never smoke? How would he understand? He would never understand. You see, how can we say that we are go to church and now and then we see Macy's on hell, so we say, God understand, I got to get that blouse or that skirt. No. God will bless us in some way. Don't worry about it. Because when we train our children or we live among our brother or sister or friend, we need to preach what we want. Okay, we live what we say. Am I right? If not, people are not going to believe in you. You know, I remember one story. that a king give a trumpet to his son. And special trumpet, when you see enemy come, you just blow it, and you see all these soldiers will come back to protect our kingdom. And so this young boy, with this horn, he's so excited, and one day he just blows. See what happened? As his father say, and you see many people, warrior, come back and say, what happened? It's our kingdom under attack. So they come back to the kingdom, try to protect, and the boy laugh. I was joking. And here these people believe it. And you do the second time. And the third time we blow, no one come back to protect the country. When people come back, say, what happened? How come our country burn up or kingdom burn up? You see, it's inconsistent. It's inconsistent. When I blow the horn and my children think that's exactly when I say A is A, B is B. But next time they say, oh, that didn't mean that. Next time they don't believe it anymore. You see, we have to be consistent. As parents, we have to be consistent. As children, we have to be consistent. You say, I'll be home by 10. Be home by 10 and cut out all the excuse. Because next time you say that, I'll be home by 10 for sure this time, Dad, they're not going to believe you anymore. Because you've done hundreds of times that you don't follow your word. Okay, I'm not only parents should follow, but we young people, we can do that too, right? We should try our best. Even myself, I need to change. I need to work. Because I want people to take me serious. Serious. I got to tell you something. I don't know if I've run out of time or not. But you know, one time when I preach, I read the Bible, you know, do not eat this meat. But anyway, I decided to be vegetarian. And so I stay away from chicken when they serve me. And other people say, no, that guy, he eat chicken. Don't believe in him. And so I'm kind of upset. You know, I say I don't eat chicken. And then when I go home, and then my roommate say, you know what, just have a bite. You know, I know you're hungry. And I remember the thought. If I take that bite, and that group criticize me, if they know about it, guess what? They don't believe me anymore. So I have to stand on my word. You know, I know that's not a great example, but you got to stand on your word. What you say you follow, I know it's hard. Sometimes we make mistakes. But it's okay. God will help us. But we need to try our best. When we know it's right, we got to do it. God will help you to overcome. All right? So that's the point. Do not be inconsistent. Point number four, that favoritism. Oh, that's happened to parents. Favorite. Do you have a favorite child? People ask me, Dad, Pastor Vin, you have four sons. Which one is your favorite? I better answer that. Okay? So, guess what? Look with me in the Bible. This is a wonderful text right here. Turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 25. Genesis, chapter 25, verse 38. Verse 25, let me say 28, I mean. 27, 28. Turn with me the book of Genesis, chapter 25. Okay? And you will see that verse 27, 28, about the story between Isaac and Rebecca. They have a wonderful family, have two sons. And guess what? What happened? Verse 27, and so the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field. He was a hunter. He's a man of the field. But Jacob was a mild child dwelling in the tent. Okay? And so Esau liked to go out and work outside, go hunt. But Jacob liked to cook at home. It's different. It's okay, it's different. You know, parents have children different. That's fine. We accept the uniqueness of each child. But what happened? Verse 28. But Isaac loved Esau more than Jacob. Why? Because he looked like him. Because Esau liked to, Isaac liked to hunting like a man, powerful man. And so he loved Esau more. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Liked to stay home and cook with mom. You see, right there, the parent right there, distinguished between the two sons. Which one they like more? Well, the two boys have fun together. But when they grew up, the parent already takes side. The children start to take side too. I love mom more than dad. I love dad more than mom. You know, sometimes parents, don't we ever ask the children, who do you like more, dad or mom? Don't we ever ask them that? Even though some parents divorce, don't we even ask that? It's not good. They couldn't answer. They don't want to answer. And so it's very important. And because Isaac and Rebekah did this, take favoritism, guess what? It's carry on the next generation. When Jacob have Joseph, guess what? He make a wonderful coat for Joseph. Make all his brother envy. You see? So favoritism cause problem and provoke anger. When you grow up and you see your parents say, you know what? Why couldn't you be like your brother? Why you couldn't be like your sister? Why you couldn't be smart like this? Why you couldn't do this and that? Guess what? Make the child angry. I try. I work hard. I could make it. Couldn't you accept me just the way I am? That's what happened. So somehow, I'm a parent, just some of you here, we need to understand each one is different. You know, sometime I was computer engineering, I was a math major, and if my son not good in math, I'm getting angry. No, that's good. Maybe my son, one of them, maybe like my wife, his mom, like language. You see, we have to understand that. We cannot expect them have a same. And so we don't take favor. Any of you take favor, that's where we need to start to cut out. You can apply in your workplace, you can apply in the school. Do not take favor. Everyone is unique in the eyes of God. Love them. Care for them. Point number four. I meant four already, right? I meant four. Point number five. Point number five is something like this. People sometimes never admit they are wrong. Especially the Asian family. Hello? I don't want to tell my parents, children that I'm wrong because I feel I'm weak. Dad, how can you be wrong? So I don't want people to think about that. And so we need to learn that we are wrong. Sometimes we sin, right? Sometimes we make mistakes, right? Can we say we never make mistakes? No. But we sometimes don't want our children, our friends, know that we never make mistakes. We're always perfect. And we start to hide away our weaknesses. And we start to feel worse. You know, when you hide away for your sin, guess what? You feel guilt. Same thing. When you hide away your weaknesses, you start what? You start to cover your weakness. Instead of go out and be strong, you know, helping yourself. Let's say you're not a good runner, so you're not going to run. No, I can run. No problem. But you come out, I'm busy. I don't have time. You start covered. That means you don't train. You don't push forward. And sometimes my English is not good. When I was young, I hate English. I hate reading. And so when, matter of fact, even come to the point, I start to take summer class. Instead of take at university, I go to a community college. You take an English class. Just want to get a B to pass so I can transfer into university. That's how bad it is. I try to avoid. I want to find an easy teacher. Guess what? It will hurt me years to come. You understand? Sometimes we find our weaknesses. We need to deal with it. We need to work with it. Do not hide away. And so we need to come to the point where we admit we are wrong. Parents need to say, we admit we are wrong because we need to show them we are humble. We need that we have the integrity. We need to show that. When parents are humble, you teach your children learn to be humble. You know that? That's very important in the character building. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs 18 verse 13. Proverbs 18 verse 13. He who answer a matter before hear it, it is folly and shame to him. That means if you try to do something, you try to answer it, you try to show that you are right, you try to show that you're better off than someone, guess what? If that's folly, you will make mistake. You brought shame to yourself. Sometimes parents feel like, oh, I know everything. I'm telling you, I'm 50 years old. I don't know everything. And sometimes kids, when they graduate from high school, turn to 18, I know everything. I can go out and win the world. I just did that. I lost. No. There's many things we need to learn and many things we need to admit that we make mistakes and we are wrong. If we don't admit it, we never change. We never correct it. Point number six. One of the ways that you provoke anger to your children or someone else is to neglect. Neglect. How do you like that when you come talk to me and I talk with someone else, I just act like you're not there? Does that feel good? No. You know, between boyfriend and girlfriend, I see some of that, you know. It's hurt. It's hard. And sometimes parents, you know, so busy, and we start to neglect. For example, I give you an example. You know, when parents are busy at work, and when they come home, and they just want to relax, or they want to share with their spouse, or other parent, or other adult, about the situation at work, and the children ran out and say, you know, Dad, Mom, I have something I'll tell you. And they keep pulling your shirt and pulling your pants, and I want something. And guess what? You're upset. I'm busy. You're so rude. That's why we do it. Some parents do the children. I did that too. So you're so rude. Guess what? We start to blame on someone and we start to blame on the children because we start neglect. When we neglect, the children feel like you don't care for them anymore. You don't care for them anymore. Whatever important in their life is not important to you. If they come home with a medal and say, you know, I just won the race today. And you start asking, what about your grade? Boy, it's hurt. You know, when I come home playing tennis, I got a, you know, I win the match. You say, but what are your grade? You got a B in the match. Sometimes the parents neglect the importance of the children. Your friends somehow they have some other thing important. Sometimes we neglect. We don't see what important to them, right? And we neglect and we just cause them angry, upset with you, and they don't want to talk with you anymore. Point number seven. Overprotection. Parent, are you overprotect? Do you do everything for your children? Children, are you happy that your parents do everything? Drive you every places? Cook your food? Even register for your class. When I graduated from high school, I'm intended not to be an engineer. I'm intended to be a tennis pro. My dad said, no, son. I'm going to move you from Phoenix to Tucson and I'll register a class for you and you go in there and study to be an engineer. I'm glad my dad did that, you know. But I'm saying that sometimes parents overprotect and are afraid that the kid doing something wrong, the children doing something wrong. For example, I see some parents say, you know what? You know, son, you don't have to wash your dishes. Move over. Let me take care of it. You cook, you know, it didn't taste good. Let me cook. Guess what? The children don't know how to cook. They don't know how to wash the dishes. It's so important that we want our children to grow. Don't overprotect. I see parents just try to do everything to them. Try to write a resume for them. Try to find a class for them. Try to talk to the teacher them. To find a job for them. Do everything. And if possible, they can interview for the children for a job. I don't want to hire any children if the parents come back for the job. Sometimes we overprotect. We provoke anger into the children. Mom, Dad, I'm 35. Come on now. I can find my own girlfriend. You know, so overprotect and afraid you do something wrong. Overprotect is hurt and provoke anger. Can we compare? And we need to cut back on that. Yes, we don't want our children to get hurt. I don't want other people to get hurt. But we need to have some boundary. Don't protect them. Let them try. When I tried to teach Joseph to learn how to ride a bicycle, And my wife said, come on, make sure you have a helmet on and an elbow protection and knee protection and drive on grass. You know, if you fall, you won't get hurt. I said, you won't ever learn how to bicycle like that. You know, I don't know how the boys and girls, before you can ride a bicycle, I'm sure you got some bruise, right? Some scratch. You got to jump on the bicycle. I'm not like Sam, I'm a Joseph. He run the bicycle and he fall down. And I said, you know, you fall so much. Look at me, so it hurt me when I see you fall so much. Just go in the house and rest. Maybe next day I teach you how to ride a bicycle. And he said, no, I want to ride. I want to ride just like my brother. You see, we want children to do and know. Because if you overprotect, they won't learn how to ride. That means, you know, when you protect your children, ride bicycle, right? Your parents do that? Hold the seat in the car, you run along with your bicycle. Okay? You have to hold on, but you don't want to fall. But if you keep holding, you never learn how to ride a bicycle. You gotta let it go. Is it hurt, let it go sometimes? Yes. But you gotta let it go. Trust in God that will lead them. We gotta let it go. Point number 8 is last but not least. It's unfair expectation. Unfair expectation. Do you have unfair expectation? I couldn't be a doctor, and I'm going to make my children be a doctor. They live out their sacred life through their children. I see some people doing that. Unfair expectation. I sit down with my family watching American Idol. A little kid, 6 years old. I look over, 6 year old girl sings so wonderful, like a pro. I look over at Joseph. Joseph, you are 8 years old. You know what I'm talking about. You expect your children to like American Idol. You look at all that. It's a lot of time show and program and all this competition, we start to feel like, oh no, what happened? I do my parents very well because my kid not up on the pedestal. Right? We feel like that and feel hurt. We're angry and we start pushing our children. That's one way to provoke the anger. You say, Mom and Dad, that's not me. Look at Michael Jackson. How can he 40 years old and he still have merry-go-round behind his backyard? Why? Because when he's 7 years old, his parents don't let him go out there to play. You got to stay in the studio, practice singing and dancing. That's it. Today, parents don't let children to be children. You know that? Only 8 years old and dress her up just like a woman. It's too fast. Let them grow up. We expect them too fast. I think we compare with other people and we want our children to be the best. Excellent is not the best. Excellent is try the best. If your children try the best, that's excellent. Unfair expectation will drive many children away from home. Unfair expectation will make children to rebel. You know, especially parents nowadays, with Asians, I expect the children, you either be engineer or doctor, that's it. Either medical field or engineering field, that's it. Don't go into journalism, don't go into all that, how about other degree that don't make money. I understand. We can shape them, we can mold them, but they have an interest that we need to understand them. So those are 8 points you can apply in your family, your workplace, even your school and the church. Love them, care for them. That's how we build up the family. Family in the United States are breaking up. And that's why society is breaking up. Because of family. If you and I build up the family in your home, build family of church, then we will build a better society. Could we do that? Could 8 of these items, at least we try some of them? If we do that, we'll help people closer to God. The children will see the parent, a godly parent, that they want to follow God. And the children will see the parent who love them and care for them. They say, "What? This is the right way to go. I want to go to church. I want to understand. I want to be like just like my parent." That's what we start build family. And it's not easy. I'm telling you, the more we live in this world, it's not easy. Because we see so many movies, magazines, read so many books, and we just bombard with so many things, and we can break that out for our family. It's got to be different. If we want to be a perfect family as God put down in this earth, as you and I and our family, then we need to be different. We need to be different before we can shed our light to a dark world. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, our God, as many parents and children listen to some of the text this morning, I pray that we would take time and to follow. Because sometimes we did so many things that hurt other people. Parent maybe did something that hurt our children that we don't even know. And parent hurt someone else that we may know. So let us not provoke anger into someone else as parent to the children. We want to raise up a beautiful family, a godly home, a godly family, and a wonderful church. So be with each one of us as we try some of these techniques, apply in our life, and I pray that you send your Holy Spirit to our home, our family, that we carry on what we learn from the Word of God this morning. We pray all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.